some years ago, having a little bit of extra money, I couldn't decide whether to go to Salt Lake City. I've always wanted to see the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, or Denver for a vacation. So I called the airlines to get prices. The very cheery sales lady replied to my first query, "Airfare to Denver is $589. And so I said, "Well, what about Salt Lake City?" And very cheery, she said, "Oh, we really have a great rate to Salt Lake City, $299. She said, "But there's a layover." I asked, "Where?" And she said, "Denver." Sometimes the world turns things inside out, upside down. And ultimately, we are called to seek the narrow way. In telling the story of these two sons, Jesus wants us to realize that what we do is more important than what we say we will do. Jesus wants us to answer yes when he tells us to love one another, but what he really wants is for us to actually love one another. He wants us to answer yes when he says, "Follow me," but what he really wants is for us to follow him. This is the kind of disciple that I long to be, and I'm hoping it's the kind of disciple we all want to be, but we need help, and that's why ultimately, when Jesus tells us in the continuation of the proclamation, the first proclamation of the church, which John the Baptist started, and what we hear when we begin every Lenten season, when we receive ashes on our forehead, "Repent and believe in the gospel." But Jesus wants us to do more than just say we'll repent. He wants us to actually repent. And to, in a very particular way, wants us to frequent the sacrament of penance. John the Baptist's message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And specifically, John the Baptist told the religious leaders, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Brothers and sisters, we have much more than those Pharisees who heard John's message have. For the very sacrament of baptism calls and equips us to a life of obedience to repentance. Repentance is not always an action someone does frequently, because repentance is a complete change of actions and thoughts. When we repent, it is as if we were walking in one direction, then suddenly stop, turn ourselves around to go in the right direction. In the context of all of the scripture passages we hear today, repentance is going from the path of sin to returning to the path of righteousness. And of these two different paths, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate." For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few that find it. These religious leaders today are the son who says, "I will go to your vineyard, Lord," but then do not obey the Father. Jesus is telling them that having the intention to obey God is not enough for salvation. Obedience is what matters, not intentions. And it is only those who actually obey God who are doing the will of their Father. And repentance itself is an act of obedience to the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus always honored the authority of his Father through complete obedience. A very clear but seldom pondered truth of the New Testament is that our Lord's entire life and ministry were planned out, orchestrated by our Heavenly Father. And that Jesus was careful to carry out every detail according to the will of God. Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 7. Even the incarnation, our Lord's coming to earth in the flesh, was an act of obedience to God the Father. His life and ministry focused absolutely on the will of the Father. As he reminds us, "But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me." And as we have been reminded in recent Sunday teaching, Jesus makes obedience to the Father a condition of our relationship with him. "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother or my sister or my mother." The obedience of Jesus refers to his selfless obedience to the will of our Heavenly Father. And through his obedience, the redemption of humanity has been accomplished. Jesus also showed himself willing to submit to earthly authorities and sets an example which believers are called to imitate. For as Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Jesus is not going to reward our disobedience, and we will have no excuse before the one who was obedient even to the point of death, death on the cross. Obedience and disobedience are based on our actions. Thus, in repentance, we remember to acknowledge what I have done and what I have failed to do.